Howdy, beauty.
This is the Dana and Parks Podcast.
You can yes, ma'am, me all day long.
Okie dokie. Shut up, old man.
Hey, Kara.
Hey, what?
I'm not there.
I noticed. Travis is starving, by the way.
I told him I promised him I'd bring him food. Basically, I called and was like, hey, by the way, I'm not coming to work. I'm going to 54th Street Grill.
I was pretty close to burning the place down.
I just kind of decided. Luckily, there's no matches in there.
That's
so
good.
I think we're cool for now.
For the moment.
You at least bring him
food. But
dinner.
I promised him I'd bring him food, yeah.
Okay.
You guys talk to the money people. It's going to happen.
Good.
Money people. And who would those be?
These guys over here at this table.
Yeah. All right. Muscle. Story here from the Kansas City Star. We're at 54th Street Grill and Bar in Lee's Summit. Festivus Friday, 1 hour from right now. Rod Babcock's joining us here at the table. Matt Campbell writes, now anyone can have that college dorm experience for just $120 a night?
I saw this story.
Oh, you just wait.
Why would you want a college dorm experience?
Listen, the University of Missouri will rent out empty rooms this fall for home football weekends and other events at the Columbia campus. The move was announced yesterday at the University Board of Curators meeting. The rooms are, quote, walking distance from Memorial Stadium, promises the Residential Life webpage. A guest housing page created this week offers furnished two-bedroom suites with four single beds for $120 a night. Parking is extra. Free high-speed wireless access, economy bed linens, and towels are included. The offer comes in the context of falling enrollment and budget cuts. Freshman enrollment has dropped 23%.
That's crazy.
At the University of Missouri. 23%.
Now, is it down everywhere or is it just Missouri's issues?
Just Missouri.
Okay.
And as of early May, it was down another 16% for the upcoming semester.
They're bleeding students.
Earlier this month, you may recall, University of Missouri System President Moon Choi announced $101 million in budget cuts at Mizzou's four campuses, resulting in the loss of 474 jobs. The university is going to use 12 residence halls for student housing this fall. Of the seven offline halls, Excellence and Discovery halls will be offered for weekend rental.
So what you're telling me is the school's so broke, they're going to be a hotel.
Right.
Well, here's what I'm saying. They don't have enough people, freshmen, coming in.
So they have all these empty rooms.
So all these dorms, there are at least two dorms that are, or a dorm that is empty, completely empty. And they're going to rent it out to people who come into Columbia.
To see the games.
To see the weekend football games.
Because when I go into town.
If your school's playing there, you travel there.
When I go into town for a college football game, the first thing I think is I want to spend $120 to stay in a ratty, disgusting, moldy beer, feet-smelling dorm room.
Well, it's not that bad if there's not college kids in
that
there.
That is 5 feet by 8 feet. Now, listen, here's the problem. I don't know what these people are thinking in Missouri. And I'm not a fan. You know I'm not a fan. They want to charge $120 to stay in a disgusting dorm room? Are you kidding me?
See, now, wait a minute. I'm going to disagree with you on this.
We stayed in a 5-star hotel last weekend for $119. The total bill, it came after taxes and fees. The total bill was $132 after taxes and fees. And we did not buy it on Expedia. We booked it directly with the hotel. It was a Sheraton. It was $120.
And here's where I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. Okay? First of all, dormitories are not what they were. Did you live in, you lived at Jayhawker Towers?
I did, okay. But they're not worth $120 a night.
Here's where they are. Keep this in mind. Listen to the story more closely. Two rooms, a bathroom, four beds. So let's say Dustin and Ketz and Rod and I are all big MU fans, okay? Or we're not fans of MU, but we're fans of the team they're getting ready to play. All right, let's say we all went to South Carolina.
Okay.
South Carolina flies into Mizzou to play a game on Saturday night. Well, we're going to go there. We're going to get our drink on. And we're going to party in the parking lot, and we're going to have a good time. We're going to cheer on the Gamecocks. with Babcock.
Yeah.
And we're going to go watch the game. For each person, it's $30 a night to sleep there after the game, get up the next morning, and go back
when
to
When we
Kansas
slept
State.
In the Sheraton...
That's were, actually not bad.
No, because when we slept in the Sheraton, there were two beds, two full beds, a couch with a rollout. You have a rollout if you want it. Your own bathroom. No one in the world is going to pay
too.
$120
got a pool.
To stay in a dorm room. It's not. This is not going to happen. If they wanted to rent out their facilities with nightly rates, which is just creepy to me, they needed to drop the price to like $65.
But what? There are no students in here, so let's keep that in mind. It's not a dorm that has, you know, students on floors 6 through 12. And they're going to rent out floors 1 through 5. This is an empty at the moment because of declining enrollment at MU.
Right. And you would feel safe staying there.
Yeah.
You've lost your mind.
Why?
There's no security. There's no... When you go to an actual hotel, you at least have an understanding that, unless you're the woman at ESPN...
Oh, I don't remember her name.
You know, unless
Aaron Andrews.
Unless you're Aaron Andrews,
yeah.
You have some expectation of safety, some expectation that they're tracking who's coming in. I would never pay $120 with a flimsy door dorm room to stay there with a bunch of yahoos coming in from out of town.
Well, these yahoos are probably grown men and women in their 40s and 50s.
No way.
Coming
if they're
to watch
grown
a football
women
game.
And men in their 40s and 50s, they are staying in a hotel.
The
no
dorm,
one is going to do this.
But the dorm is within walking distance of the football stadium.
And that's worth, to me, will you have a key card to get in?
Probably.
How are you going to know? I guarantee you, there is crime in these unsupervised dorms like you would not even believe. That would be my number one worry.
That's the other people that live there, though, and those people aren't going to be there.
Is there surveillance?
I don't know.
No way.
And so surely there's some way, card key or some access, access to the building now. As students live there, it can't.
Are there
just
students
be
there
wide
now?
Open.
Or
no,
they, no, they're no, vacant,
but,
Rod.
But my point is, last year there were students in it, so it has some sort of locks and all that on the doors.
Yeah.
It's not just wide open willy nilly.
It's not a brothel.
It's
a dorm room.
And when you talk about, you know, little petty crime stuff going on in dorm rooms, that's the other kids that live there. This is empty. This is only people coming to stay there. I think your concerns about security are a little over dramatic, and I don't know that it cost wise I guess being able to park right in front of it, walk to the game and walk back, and like you said,
parking
$30
is not parking
in the night.
Listen to this,
parking's not included.
Is extra. No one is going to do this, Rod, because if you are
probably not.
If you are in your 40s and 50s,
you don't have room service or a pool or anything.
Yeah, you're going to go to a hotel. If you
can't
are
get up and have
19 or 20,
right there,
you don't have $120 to stay in a crappy dorm room.
Well, you do if it has four beds and it's only $30 a person.
I guess if you're shacking up six people or something in one of those rooms,
yeah.
Maybe. Which goes back to who is staying next to you.
But I think, and here's the problem with what's happened at Mizzou. It's really easy right now because of everything that went on a couple of years ago. It's very easy to make fun of Mizzou. They have suffered the consequences because of what has gone on. There's no doubt about it. With the football team protest and, you know, the crazy lady, you know, with her safe space and get me some muscle over here and all that. It's easy to pick on Missouri right now. But they now, because of all this blowback, have an empty dorm room. They're doing something with it, at least. They're offering it. Now, is the price too high? Probably. Did they test market it? Probably not. But at least they're not letting a building just sit vacant with the pipes popping because of the cold weather.
Someone just wrote in, you cannot find a hotel room within an hour of Columbia on game days. The dorm will be booked.
I bet it will be, too.
That is another thing to consider. You're talking about a room that you got in St. Louis. This is Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
There's only so much there. I mean, I don't think they have a Sheraton.
I actually applaud Mizzou for what I think is a pretty creative idea.
Someone just wrote in, I would pay $120 to stay in a dorm room at my former college football weekend. Absolutely nostalgia.
Yeah, there's some of that. You can read that one, too, that you just passed.
Columbia College in Chicago already does this.
No, the one above it.
And Parks is an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm with Dana. Is the continental breakfast included? No, you get a set of sheets. Is that what it said?
Yeah.
I think towels was on that list, too.
You get a set of sheets and one towel that's been used by 16,432 19-year-old boys.
It said fresh towels.
Well, that means they're laundered.
Okay.
So I cannot believe
What kind of towel do you think you dried off with at the Sheraton?
Look,
new one that they just shipped in from India?
I love KU with the whole of my heart. But if someone said to me, do you want to go, babe, for $120 and stay in Oliver Hall on game day, I would look at them they were absolutely crazy.
But you did not live in Oliver Hall. I lived in JRP, which is now the teacher's building.
You lived in JRP?
I did. My parents insisted I live in an all-boys dorm. Almost made me gay. No, it didn't.
Well, you said almost.
If JRP, which is right next to the football stadium at KU, was open for, you know, four beds, $120 a night, and I was going there with three other dudes for a football weekend, the nostalgia would make me want to stay at JRP.
Okay, someone just wrote in, guys will do this all day long.
Because it reminds you of college.
I guess.
I would love to go back into JRP the way it once was. And sit in the lobby on the sixth floor. I lived in room 603. Sleep in my old room 25 years after the fact. I think it would be fun.
Okay, someone did write in, and this is true. Swim teams will do this in droves. I'll give them that. Here's why. We went there for an invitational last year. There's nowhere to stay and nowhere to park. So, but if you're talking about having, six 12-year-old boys, I could totally see putting them in a dorm with heavy supervision. Here's creepy McCreep pasty guy next door doesn't come wandering down the hall, if you know what I mean.
Here's who else might do it. Visiting football teams.
I don't know.
Right next to the stadium. Keep everybody in check.
That's possible.
Now, if it's a high-dollar team, forget about it. But you bring in the University of Louisiana Lafayette, they may consider it. 576-7798. Don't forget Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news.
At Something Different, you climb the mountain, we'll tell the world. Behind each business lies a great story. How well the story is told is the key to your success. Something Different is a unique full-service agency comprised of a highly experienced, talented, and versatile staff. We combine marketing expertise, art, and technology, providing your company with a distinct competitive edge. Tell Something Different your story, 1-866-VIDEO-14, or online at somethingdifferent.com.
I've got another confession to make.
Summit, 815 Southeast 3rd Street. Festivus Friday coming your way right after the top of the hour news. It's 425. Here's a story we alluded to last hour. Dana did, at least. I'll bring it back up for your attention and consideration. The latest death threat to Missouri Congressman Emanuel Cleaver came in a call to his office. The caller was furious that Cleaver didn't answer his own phone, a job usually reserved for a staffer. For that perceived failing, the man squawked. The congressman and former Kansas City mayor was a blanking punk. The word starts with an F. The man continued, describing himself as a United States military veteran suffering from cancer and coronary artery disease.
Oh, God.
Then, referring to Cleaver, he said this. If that mother blank doesn't start listening to blanking President Trump and representing his blanking constituents, then I'm going to blow your blanking office up. Steve Kraske writes, in another indication of his intelligence quotient, the caller then left his name. In what has become a macabre routine, Cleaver's office turned the call over to the Capitol Police.
Good.
It's become a routine, you see, because this was hardly the first time the congressman has received a threat to mess him up or hurt him. The latest tally from his office put the total in the low double digits during the past few years. Now, before you think this is always crazy people on the right threatening office holders on the left, mm-hmm. I need not remind you that today Johnny Depp, the actor, in London, was speaking to a group of people and said, huh, maybe it's time another actor kills a president.
Oh.
Did he really?
Yes.
What an idiot.
I got it here in the stack.
And I would and am and would never be okay with that. That's not okay.
I got it in the stack.
I know things are really crazy right now.
Here it is.
I'm sorry. Like
he said to the audience, when was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
That's horrible.
Insinuating
yeah.
that Donald Trump needs to be killed and maybe he's the one to do it.
That's stupid.
Ridiculous.
But here's the thing I don't understand.
Can you be arrested for that or fined or something?
Like, I know things are crazy right now, but as far as this Emmanuel Cleaver thing, I assume this happens all the time. People call and they lose their minds and they say a bunch of ugly stuff.
Here's the difference.
Like, why are we talking about this?
Because you cannot threaten the life of a sitting congressman, number one.
You can't threaten the life of anyone.
Number two, this is the scariest part of this story for me, because the minute I read it, I thought that's the guy that needs to be in jail. The man says he is a military veteran suffering from cancer and coronary artery disease. When I read that...
Because he has nothing to lose.
This guy actually scares the hell out of me. He has nothing to lose. Look at some of the other former crazy people in this community. I will not say their names. Some of the ones who have done some of the worst things.
I think she means you, Scott.
No, I think Glenn Fraser Cross.
We're doing it at the what they perceive to be the near end of their life. I'm going to go out in some blaze of glory. Yeah. I got nothing to lose. I've got cancer, coronary artery disease. He hates the congressman. That if I was the Capitol Police, okay, and you have to rank the 100 threats that come in every single month, that guy would get all of my attention and staff.
I do understand that, but also you have to understand that 99% of people that do things are not people that ever made threats. And people who make threats, right, 99% of them never do anything.
The problem is you can't take a chance on the one.
Making the threat is what blew off the steam. And like I said, and here again, I'm not defending the guy. I'm not saying it's okay. But I just assume if you set and answer the phones in a congressman's office, at least once a day you hear, go F yourself, I hope you die, or something like that. Right?
Well, but it goes back to something that we were talking about last hour, whether or not the media is to blame for the political violence or the political intolerance that we have in America. And again, I'm not saying this is the worst this country's ever been. My God, it's been worse. I get that. But something has happened. I don't know if it's social media. I don't know if it's the proliferation of cable news outlets or what. But something has happened in this country over the last 20 years. Some of you might even say it's right-wing talk radio. I don't know.
Someone wrote in, the media is not to blame, but they threw fuel on the fire.
Maybe.
And I think that's as far as I'm willing to go with, quote, blaming the media. But we didn't create the crazy.
But the problem is the Kara Marxers of the world and the Dana and Parkses of the world get lumped in with the Rachel Maddows and the Keith Olbermans and the Rush Limbaughs of the world. And there's a distinct difference between what we offer and what they offer, I would argue. We're at 54th Street Grill and Bar in Lee's Summit, Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. Let's get to the newsroom. Here is Caremark's.
Are you stale and out of touch? If your company relies on old school marketing, let Something Different show you how to open the door to new sales. Something Different's advertising experts can get your products in front of the right audience. Something Different can help you advertise on Facebook, Google, YouTube, local TV, and more. Call us now to discuss your marketing efforts at 816-753-8000. That's 816-753-8000. Or visit online at somethingdifferent.com.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand by me.
We are at 51st Street Grill and Bar in beautiful Lee Summit. Thank you, by the way, in advance to all of you who have come out and all of those of you who had to leave. But those of you who are here, thank you for spending part of your afternoon with us. May God bless you always, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for coming out. A couple of stories here. I had it in front of me. I'll find it and just say, I printed this one for you, Dana.
I saw it.
The Making of the Murderer. Did you see this?
It's so awful.
The confession of a Wisconsin inmate featured in the Netflix series Making a Murderer.
Who was, I believe, then 16.
Was improperly obtained and he should be retried or released from prison.
Yeah.
Didn't you say he had some mental issues?
Mental deficiencies.
Okay.
Was, I believe, 16. They pull him out of class and they're like, tell us what you did with her. Did you shoot her? And the whole time he's like, no. And they're like, well, if you did, how many shots would there have been? And he's like, two? And they're like, what about five? I don't know. Like, it's the worst. Mm. It will make your skin crawl to watch them interviewing this poor kid without an attorney, without his mother.
As a teenager? They didn't have his parents or his attorney.
No parents, no attorney. He has the mental capacity, I think, at the time of maybe a third grader. And he says to them, and this just broke my heart. He says to them, are we going to be done by about 1:15? And one of the detectives says, probably not, Brendan. Why are you asking? He says, well, I have a science paper due at 1:15. Can I go back to science? He just doesn't even, like, they're questioning. They're trying to corner you, son, for murder. Mm-hmm. And he thinks he's going back to science class. Doesn't understand why he's there.
Now,
they're leading him. Like, literally, if I said to you, did you stab someone? And you said no.
Mm-hmm.
They basically said, well, what if I said you shot her? I mean, they just played with him for, like, 6 hours.
Well, I never saw the series, so help me here. Stephen Avery is the main character.
Yes.
He's the guy that,
yes,
that they fingered for committing the murder,
yes,
and all this stuff.
And they're trying to say that this poor 16-year-old nephew was there,
okay,
and saw it and participated,
okay,
in it.
That all notwithstanding, is there any question, for those of us who haven't seen Making a Murderer, is there any question that Stephen Avery did it?
Locally, people say there's no doubt that he killed that woman.
Okay.
But internationally, no one believes he did it,
but
because it was just so poorly. The investigation was handled so poorly.
But it's the nephew where everybody's like, wait a minute,
guys. I mean, you cannot look at that. Then they have these jailhouse tapes, Scott, with this poor 16-year-old boy and his mother. And they don't understand the words that people are using to talk to them about the case. They are an undereducated part of America. Okay, I don't want to say...
The mom and the dad and the kid.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to say Appalachia, but they just don't have any understanding of what is going on. And he keeps saying, when can I come home? And she's like, well, I don't know. I don't know. We need to ask them that. You know, they just don't understand what's happening. And he, to me, did not have the mental capacity, or even if he had been sharp as a tack, Mensa 16-year-old valedictorian, you cannot question a teenager without parents or an attorney there.
But are they dumb, or is the whole family just kind of mentally not there?
They're just undereducated is the nicest thing I can say, Scott.
Scott, at one point, when he's talking to his mom on the phone, he asked, will he be out in time to watch WrestleMania?
He wants, that's his question. Can I watch WrestleMania?
And she goes, well, you're going to be in jail for a little bit. But
yeah,
then he asked
they just
again,
gave
but
you
10
years. No, you can't see WrestleMania. This was after he was sentenced? It will break your heart. He wants to watch WrestleMania. You know, whereas you or I would be like, what just happened? What's the attorney saying? Where are we going? You know,
I just got railroaded.
I just got railroaded in court. Here's the other deal. Without getting into the weeds of the case, they purported in this small town that they strangled and stabbed and brutalized and in the most horrific, bloody manner killed this woman, they say, in the bed of this trailer. There's no blood, Scott. None. There's no blood in the trailer. And they're trying to get this teenager to say, oh, we tied her to the bed and then we stabbed her 96 times. There's no blood. They go into the crime scene after it happens. The room is messy. But there's no blood.
Did they bleach it, or was it, there just no crime
there's
committed
just
there?
No, Scott, they're so not here.
Okay.
I'm telling you that if they wanted to kill someone,
they're not smart
they're
enough
not
to do it.
I mean, I hate to say it. You're talking about a cover-up. He thinks he's getting out of jail to watch WrestleMania.
Well, he was 16 when this happened. He's 27
God
now.
God bless him.
He's been in prison for 11 years.
I'm not saying that he doesn't have problems or that maybe the other guy, Stephen Avery, did it. Well, I don't think we'll ever know. You cannot put that kid in prison. You can't.
Hmm.
It's so funny you just brought it up. My mom just posted that on Facebook and said, they're letting Brendan Dassey go. Did you see it?
Well, I don't know that that's true yet.
He could be retried. But if you retry him and toss out that, quote, confession, which was that six-hour railroad job with no one present, there's not a court in America that does its job that is going to allow that evidence to be presented to a jury. You toss out the confession, they don't have anything.
But you know what I always find fascinating is the Supreme Court the Federal Appeals Court in Wisconsin has ordered him either retried or released. Why has he not been released? I've never understood when people are exonerated.
Right, let him go.
And yet they end up spending another 2, 3, 4 weeks in prison. Why? You're literally holding a man who's either guilt you can't prove or who is innocent without a doubt because of the new evidence that surfaced or the lack of a confession, etc. Why is he not back on the streets tonight?
They did a lot of this. If you just tell us, this will all be over.
Yeah, it sure will.
Yeah, your life. Your life's all going to be over.
Just tell us, you'll become somebody's girlfriend. I'm shocked by this.
Well,
I've never even seen the damn show.
People, I will tell you this, people who think Stephen Avery killed that woman, and those people exist, also say you cannot put that 16-year-old in jail. You just can't. Even if he had something to do with it, the way it was handled, you cannot legally put someone like that in jail. But again, Scott, I don't think they had they didn't have resources. They didn't have a basic understanding of their constitutional rights as Americans.
Where did this story come? Why did it take, I think the movie came out 2 years ago or whatever it was, the documentary. Why did it take 9 years for somebody to find this?
I think there was so much outrage over the teenager's treatment in the case. Because when you see the interrogation room tapes and they play them in the documentary, your jaw would hit the floor, Scott. You like, I'm not a lawyer, you're not a lawyer,
so where,
you know what's point. Happening in that room is not legal.
So where were the documentarians 9 years ago?
I don't know. It takes a long time to bring those projects to fruition,
maybe,
I guess.
Right, I guess.
This is a victory for justice. I'm telling you, it is a victory
for
justice.
So you don't think the kid was involved at all?
God, no.
Had nothing
to
do with it.
That kid couldn't find his way to the... I mean, you need to watch it.
Have you seen this thing, this Making a Murderer?
No. I try not to watch things like that.
Why?
It would just—it would make you so mad.
I don't need to be angry or find reasons to be angry.
Yeah.
I try not to watch sad stuff. I won't watch Schindler's List.
You've never seen Schindler's List.
No. I have no desire to watch that.
And this kid is
don't get me wrong. I watch some, you know, things now and then, but mostly I want to watch happy, funny.
Yeah,
this kid, Rod, is so childlike. It would be like putting Roman in a closed room with two police officers who are just bringing him down the trail.
Yeah,
they're tightening the rope, and you can see him circling, and he doesn't understand.
Yeah, see, I don't.
What's
happening?
It would drive this one crazy.
I would go crazy.
Which You know, I understand cops wanting to close a case. I get it. You're employed and rated and judged and promoted on how many cases you can close. But what's the benefit of a prosecutor to put this 16-year-old kid on trial after watching that interrogation, knowing that someday, potentially, this could all come back to bite him in the you-know-what? What's the point?
I don't know.
You know?
That's why that Netflix documentary was so wildly successful, because you cannot believe in America this happened to a teenager.
And how bad do you have to suck as a defense attorney?
Yeah, correct.
That this kid gets washed.
Correct. But what kind of defense attorney do you think they had, Scott?
Public defender.
Oh, if that.
All right, we're at 54th Street Grill and Bar in Lee's Summit.
Yeah. I'm out of here. I got to go back to the station and relieve Travis. I got their food. I'm taking back.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Rod Babcock.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a lovely experience. Thank you for having me.
All right, get back and feed the people, my friend. All right, we're at 54th Street Grill and Bar in Lee's Summit. It'd be an honor and a privilege if you would swing on by. We'll do Festivus Friday coming up right after the 5 o'clock news.
At Something Different, you climb the mountain, we'll tell the world. Behind each business lies a great story. How well the story is told is the key to your success. Something Different is a unique full-service agency comprised of a highly experienced, talented, and versatile staff. We combine marketing expertise, art, and technology, providing your company with a distinct competitive edge. Tell Something Different your story, 1-866-VIDEO-14, or online at somethingdifferent.com.
Well, it might be me, might be the whiskey, might be loving me, might be tipsy. Tomorrow morning might hurt real bad, so let's make tonight last.
Festivus Friday coming away here in about 5 minutes from the 54th Street Grill and Bar in Lee's Summit. Let me do this real quick. For those of you who are here at the bar, and by the way, thank you for taking time out of your busy day. If you have a grievance here at the bar, you're welcome to write it down on a piece of paper, and we will get it on the air for you. Just need to get a pen up here. Mr. Katz, if you have a pen over there, we'd appreciate that. Thank you, young lady. 576-7798 if you want to get in early. Dana was talking about this earlier. We were talking about the Jalen Rose controversy on ESPN. And Dana alluded to this story. Sad news out of the University of South California. Evidently, fat shaming starts much younger than you might think. According to new research, overweight kids are consistently excluded from friendship with their thinner peers. And on top of that, they're also more likely to believe their friends with another student who disagrees to be disliked by their classmates. The study, conducted by researchers at USC, studied 504 preteens in the Netherlands and how they interacted with their peers. The results were unanimously depressing, showing that the consistent negative interactions that heavier kids face, quote, take a mental, social, and physical toll on their lives. The children in the study were asked to complete a simple survey, and the results were not good for overweight kids. According to the study, heavier kids were 1.7 times more likely to be disliked and 1.2 times more likely to dislike their peers. When compared to kids,
well, if you're being bullied, you're going to dislike the bully, of course.
You'd think you wouldn't pick a fight with a kid who could kick your butt, but whatever.
You can't be surprised by this.
No. No, I'm not.
I think it's worse today than it was when we were growing up.
Because of social media?
Yep. I mean, didn't we all have that one kid in our class who struggled with their weight in elementary school? I remember his name. I won't say it, but we had one.
Pretty fat?
Yeah. There were some hygiene issues. I mean, just, you know, the one kind of the pig pen kid from Charlie Brown.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it would be much, much harder to be that kid today. I really do.
Let me ask you this, though. When it comes to heavier kids in school, and we all had them. A lot of them played on the football team, so I kept my mouth shut. But the one I mentioned earlier, and I mentioned John Otto for two reasons. we grew up together in Fort Hood, Texas. And then his dad was in the military, too. And we also went to high school together in Lansing years later. So we went to two separate schools in two completely different cities together.
Yeah.
Our dad just happened to be stationed at the same base at the same time, twice. John Otto was a big kid. And I don't ever remember anybody making fun of John Otto because he would kick your butt if you made fun of John Otto.
Okay.
But clearly there are kids that get made fun of. Do you blame the parents for them being overweight? Clearly some of them have a metabolism issue or whatever. Is it the parents' fault?
I think it's a mix of things, but I don't like the word fault. It's such a sensitive topic. You know, we talked about that basketball player who grew up eating convenience store fried burritos. Mm-hmm. So is that the parents' fault if that's all she could afford because they were 99 cents? I don't think the word fault applies. I think some people do the best they can with what little they have, and sometimes that leads to unhealthy habits.
Hmm. Well, but John Otto's dad was an officer in the military.
Yeah.
They had money.
Were they big? His parents big?
I don't remember. John was. He was a big boy. I mean, he wasn't fat, but he was fat, but fat big.
Is he still big? Do you keep up with him on Facebook or anything?
No. I mean, we've lost touch over the years, but I have no idea.
You should reach out to him and be like, hey, are you still fat? Brought it up on the show the other day and super curious.
Festivus Friday coming your way in just a moment. If you want to get in on the phone lines, it's 576-7798. If you're here at the bar, man, people are taking the pages. People got some grievances here.
Grieving on.
Just grab a piece of paper, grab a pen, and we'll get you set up. Festivus Friday is next. 576-7798. We're at 54th Street Grill and Bar in Lee Summit.